Good morning. We began our study last week exploring the subject of hope in crisis. Last week, we looked at the definition for hope and how the Bible identifies the believer's hope as being in Christ, not just in this world, but in and for the future. Today, we will explore the crisis in creation and the hope that has been made available through Jesus Christ. But first, let's define crisis. Various definitions are given for the word crisis. A time of intense difficulty or danger. A time when a difficult or important decision must be made. An unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which a decisive change is impending. There are different types of crisis. Existential crisis. This is internal conflicts related to things such as life's purpose, direction, and spirituality. A midlife crisis is one example of a crisis that is often rooted in existential anxiety. There is also what is considered to be situational crisis. These sudden and unexpected crises include accidents and natural disasters. There are three sources of crisis. First of all, there is self-inflicted crisis. Secondly, there is the natural outworking of things that creates a crisis. And thirdly, there are crises that are foisted upon us. Remember this morning that hope is future while crisis is present reality. Let's now turn our attention to the crisis in creation and the hope for the future. In Genesis chapter 1, we find an outline of the creation story. Day 1 to 6 shows God creating by speaking things into being. On day 6, he did something extraordinary by fashioning a model of a being from the dust of the ground and then blowing his breath into it, and it became alive. Everything was declared after its creation to be good. In other words, to be pleasant and favorable. The creation of man, male and female, in his image and likeness completed the creation order. Man was then given specific instructions concerning how to care for creation. In Genesis 1, 28 through 31, we find God instructing man and, first of all, blessing man. Secondly, he instructed man to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it. Thirdly, he told man to have dominion over the fish and the birds and every living thing. And fourthly, he told man to eat the herbs that yield seed and fruit from trees that yields seed. There was harmony between man and nature until. In Genesis 3, we see a significant crisis resulting from man's failure to obey God. This disobedience created a crisis in creation, which has continued until this present time. It is an environmental crisis, which is a consequence of the shift in harmony between man and creation as a result of man's disobedience. So creation was also affected by man's fall from grace. In Romans 8, 18 through 22, we find the words of the Apostle Paul that reads this way. Romans 8, 18 through 22 says, And I read, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." The restoration of the creation to its original purpose begun with the coming of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10 and 11 through 14, we are told that God is going to purge this earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth according to Revelation 21. All the crisis caused by sin's entrance into the human existence and the human experience will be dealt with. And those who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit will enjoy things as God originally intended it to be. Next week, the crisis within.